know what time it is, folks. The 3-1 car contest. EG3 back on the A-Wing once again. My name is Andy Word, the son, a.k.a. EG3. This is the NASCAR podcast. Yes, we are NASCAR podcast EG3, where we break down the latest in a top religion in NASCAR, talk about the Super Bowl Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series of Revisions, and all of those boys on this edition. Of course, this is the Western Recap edition tonight on the podcast of Mind on Mind. Another winner here in 2021. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Xfinity Series in our race. Crazy finishes, unpredictable winners, and that could likely happen this weekend. The trucks are off this weekend, so once again, it's a doubleheader. Switching the Xfinity Series with the Truck Series. Truck Series is off, and we're going to start with that right now. Folks, let's get on down, right down to business. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. That is the right Twitter handle, folks. At Eddie_EG3 Twitter handle. And of course, you can find the Rewind NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. Rewind NASCAR podcast going to Talladega. Well, I'm not going to Talladega. Xfinity Series and the Cup Series going to Alabama this weekend, folks. As I'm recording this, April 22nd, folks. Night of the 22nd, 2021. Crazy weather shifts here in spring, early spring and morning, wherever you want to call it here in Kansas. Dealing with that, still dealing with these 30s, high 20, early morning cold weathers. And then also a snow here a little bit. Back yesterday, I want to say it. Yeah, yesterday, I want to say probably the day before that. But anyways, my days are mixed up this week. So, yeah, it snowed a little bit, but it was that soft snow here in Kansas. That melted away very quickly, so there's that as well. So, not going on. Let's just get down in business, shall we, with the Truck Series. They're off this weekend, but they were back in action last weekend. And once again, Kyle, and I said 3 wins. On the last episode of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. So I went back to it, and yes, I totally forgot about, I admit, or I shouldn't say forgot, that's the wrong vocabulary. I missed the John Hunter Nemechek win at Vegas. And where we start off with, folks, JH. That's right, John Hunter Nemechek for the second time as in many weeks this year in the Capable Truck Series knocks off his boss, Kyle Busch, once again. He's 2-0 now against his boss, his owner, and boss to win the race there. And this was earlier in the offseason, I talked about this in the offseason. I mean, this was the move for him. I mean, he was not happy during his rookie year. Mainly part of the second half of the year, really, probably what did him in. Getting caught up in bad crashes, putting himself in a bad situations, things like that, and then Nemechek making the move there to drop and demote himself all the way back down to the Truck Series, where we know he's going to be contending for wins running up front, especially when you put him in high caliber equipment like KBM. And he's delivered to this point so far, and kind of an emotional win for him there, as he had his wife and his newborn with him in the motorhome during the race there, brought him to the racetrack there. So all types of emotions right there, and well deserved by JH, John Hunter Nemechek, getting the win once again. Kyle Busch there trying to make something happen there on the last couple laps of that race of the Toyota Owners 250. Couldn't do it there. Coming up short. I thought there for a second, Vince Welch melted in too early. He melted in a little bit too early. I thought Kyle Busch right there was going to make a Hail Mary there. He was close enough to him. But they're coming off of turn four. Did not get off of four very well. John Hunter Nemechek holds on there to win his second race and locking himself up with Ben Rhodes as he and Ben Rhodes now have two wins on the Young 2021 season. John Nemechek really had an outstanding truck all race long, 114 laps there, and leading to the victory there for John Hunter Nemechek there. Kyle Busch finishing second to his employee, once again, Tyler Ankrum. Much needed run for this young man there, finishing in the third spot there. This is the rundown of the Toyota Owners 250 here in the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. At one point, Kyle Busch Motorsports was 1-2-3 in that final little stage there to the checkered flag. It was Chandler Smith out front trying to whore off the 4 and 51 trucks respectively there. At one point, these guys were 1-2-3. They couldn't finish unfortunately because Chandler Smith dropped back to the fourth position, but yet still though, a solid run by Chandler Smith in an 18 Toyota truck for KBM. Johnny Sauter, yeah, using a little bit of strategy there to finish himself in the top five there in the fifth position. The rest of your top 10 finishers, folks: Todd Gilliland, Ben Rhodes, Grant Emminger, who won stage one, John Nemechek winning stage two. Infinger led 71 laps there after starting third, finished eighth spot. Sam Mayer, Sam Mayer finished great run for that 32 Chevrolet Silverado. Mayer finishing in ninth spot, and Austin Hill, he and Sean Creed were going at it on the racetrack there, the last few laps there with their trucks there, going back and forth, beating and banging. Austin Hill gained the coveted 10th position there over Sheldon Creed, who finished in 11th spot there. Some notables here: Sheldon Creed, already mentioned him, 11th, still struggling. I thought Sheldon Creed would be a little bit better on short tracks, but for some reason, he said this was his weakness, running on these short tracks, trying to learn more about these short tracks. I thought, you know, he's pretty good on these short tracks. Apparently, I was wrong on that. So, a lot of work to do for that, for the defending truck, reigning truck series champion there, who finished in the 11th spot there. Stuart Friesen, 13th. Zane Smith finished 14th there. Derek Cross Raleigh back there from potential disaster, 15th place for him. Haley Deegan had a rough afternoon. Yeah, she finished 17th spot, but man, oh man, she was almost a talk of all these wrecks that were surrounding her and everything else, trying to dip and dodge and do all that other stuff. Haley Deegan, 17th spot for her there. She had a roller coaster of a day for her there. So a rough Richmond race for Deegan. Matt Crafton finishing in the 18th spot there. Timothy Peters, in a 25 Chevy Silverado, finished 22nd there. And here, Brett Moffitt, 40 in the 45 for Nice, 37th. And then Ryan Truex there with an issue early in this race. Shotgun through the field, matching his truck number. That's not where you want to be there for Ryan Truex there. So he finished 40th there in the Toyota Owners 250. I mentioned at the top of this episode, trucks are off here as I try to switch off the screen here to my truck, rest of my truck notes here. The rest of the schedule here, obviously, next Saturday in Kansas City, the trucks will kick off a doubleheader where the trucks come to town and the Cup Series as well. Duly noted, I will not be at the races, unfortunately, at least for the spring, due to scheduling. So that, I mean, I'll be at home watching the races in front of my couch with my daughter. So, but hey, I'd rather be at a track, but hey, other matters had to take place next weekend. So, but I will be in the front. Don't worry, y'all. I will be in front of the TV set watching the truck race next Saturday night
and the Cup race on Sunday. That is for sure there. So a little bit of a, I kind of already talked about it last week's episode of the podcast there. I wasn't entirely sure. I kind of knew already that I wasn't going to go anyway due to other commitments that weekend, unfortunately. So we'll not be attending the races. Hopefully, this when it, if the schedule works itself out, which hopefully it should, I'd be able to attend the fall races, which that actually matters anyways, because that then is the playoffs races at Kansas Speedway anyway. So I will be there. Big D is planning on being there as well. Awesome. So with everything that's going on with the pandemic, we were there anyway last year anyways. During the pandemic anyways, and when they let fans in the stands, I watched it at home last year. Yeah, so I watched the first race at home last year, and because they couldn't, at that point in time, obviously, Governor Kelly put a mandated lockdown on no fans in the stands at Kansas Speedway. So we had to stay at home. So I mean, that will be unfamiliar territory because I did it last year. So I'm not too worried about it, not too upset about it. It is what it is there. But the trucks anyways, next Saturday night, KC, Kansas Speedway, under the lights, cannot wait to be in front of the TV set. Really the best seat in the house. I'd rather be there. That's really the best seat in the house. But hey, you're still in front of the TV. You still get the opportunity to watch the racing. So it's going to be intense. That's for sure there. So we'll see if Johan Nemechek can continue. I mean, really, these are the only two truck drivers to win this year. The regulars winning this year. Nobody else has won yet. So will somebody step up to the plate there and challenge these guys like an Austin Hill there? Matt Crafton, who went well last year. Zane Smith, going back to that last meeting at Kansas Speedway, was up front as well. So you got those guys. You know, we'll find out for sure next weekend, next Saturday night, under lights in prime time on FS1. Make sure y'all check that out as well. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast of ET3 Eddie Greer here with you guys on this Thursday night. Xfinity Series did not race at Richmond. We move our car to the middle of the racetrack now as the starting lineups are already set for their race here on Saturday, 3 o'clock Central Time in Alabama. 300-mile race. And yeah, you know, Talladega, you know, I don't have to say any further than that. Talladega is something else, and you know, with all that going on, the AgPro 300 this Saturday, obviously, the last time the Xfinity Series was on the racetrack, Josh Berry delivered Dale Earnhardt Jr. Berry's first win in his Xfinity Series career. Huge win, and he's in the field. He will be in the car, the 8 car, on Saturday afternoon, in the Alabama Super Speedway racetrack there. I gotta go back here to look at the regular season standings here real quick here. For the Camping World Truck Series, that would include J.H. He leads by 20 over Ben Rhodes. Sheldon Creed, third. Austin Hill, fourth. Matt Crafton, there, 7 points ahead of Stuart Friesen in the fifth position. Again, the trucks will be not re-racing at Talladega this go-around. I'm pretty sure that's on in the playoffs, like we've seen it in the last time the trucks were there. Obviously, Rafael Lassar getting the upset win. Then it was with Kyle Busch Motorsports last fall. So that, we'll have to pin that discussion there when we get there. But that's kind of a look right now at the top 5 in the Camping World Truck Series. I almost played the wrong thing there. So let me get this in here real quick with you guys. I'll be back after this few seconds.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
AgPro 300, Saturday afternoon on Fox Austin Center. will lead the field to green here. And obviously, last time the Xfinity Series was on Speedway, back at Daytona season opener, it was Austin Cindric erasing the demons of Daytona to get the win there. And we saw, and you know, again, Talladega, Daytona, you know what these races bring to the table. Wild action, intense from the green flag, up and down, yo-yo style, guys moving in the front, moving to the back. You have, obviously, Rex, the big one, obviously. So I know, hey, when I started getting to the Daytona Talladega, it pretty much speaks for itself. Pretty much, you don't know what you're gonna get. Obviously, Colleague Racing has been very strong, and I still think, even with Austin Cindric winning that race there in Daytona, beginning of the year back in February, I still think these Colleague cars still going to be the class of the field. Obviously, Junior Moore Schwartz tried to get something going down in Daytona. That did not work very well for them, as all their cars, I believe, wrecked out in the season opener down there in Daytona. So we'll see if Junior Moore Schwartz can bounce back. But I still believe that Colleague Racing is the organization to beat, especially the last time we were here at Talladega with I believe it was a 1-2-3 finish, if I'm not mistaken there. I'm going to have to go back during the break and check that out. But I do know that Justin Haley won the race there and continued his speedway streak there. Obviously, it was snapped earlier this year by Austin Cindric, but these Colleague cars know how to work together, and that's what's going to take. I mean, Junior Moore Sports, they're kind of the next team there try to get some action there as well with their four drivers. So Josh Berry was very impressive in his season debut there, in his speedway debut actually, down in Daytona. He ran in the back half of the top 10 there. He was 7th and 8th place before he was caught up in one of those wrecks right there. So it's going to be interesting. Talladega is going to be, I think Talladega is more intense than Daytona is, from racing wise, because you can go four deep at this racetrack. You can go four wide, but that's a little bit of a skinny post there in Daytona. Talladega is more bigger. You definitely do see that three abreast, four wide there, and sometimes you will get single file racing. It's going to be interesting to see what the strategy plays out on Saturday afternoon. Let's just run down the top 10 here for you guys for the Ag Pro 300. Of course, this podcast episode, while I'm rolling here, will come out probably an hour before, maybe at least an hour before the Ag Pro 300. So that's what we're shooting for there. And I like, me and Big D, we discussed it. We like posting these before the first race of the weekend. So, I mean, we've been on it for quite a while doing that. So I know all the NASCAR podcasts record, get their stuff out during the week, for probably the exception of the Final Lap Weekly, because they post their little bit of a dailies over the weekend with Kerry Murphy and what he's doing with that. But what I'm doing here, all the episodes been posted on the weekend so far, unless otherwise here with special guests on the weekend. So I'm planning, hopefully, I might be reaching into the bag of tricks since I can't be at the racetrack next week to get a special guest on. We'll see what I can do with all of that. But anyways, yep, be out and look out for this podcast. If you're listening right now, an hour prior to the green flag of the Ag Pro 300, that's what we're going to be shooting for. So be out and look out for that. But if you have not listened to all the the last episode of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, I encourage you to check that out, along with the rest of the content this year. We've had some pretty solid content this year so far here in Season 6 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. So definitely, you missed out on the last episode of the podcast, the Mark Trench Jr. episode. Go back and check that out. But again, Act Pro 300, this will come out an hour prior to the green flag here. Obviously, I'm going to throw this in here with weather permitting as well. I've not checked the weather at all yet down there in Alabama. Austin Cindric leading the field of green In the leading Penske Racing, Daniel Hemric will start second. Harrison Burton doing double duty this weekend. He's debuting in the Cup Series race on Sunday. So for Gott Brothers. So that's interesting for him there. So Harrison Burton there will roll out third in the Xfinity Series, though, for Joe Gibbs Racing. Noah Gregson will start fourth. Justin Haley, fifth. Last year's Talladega winner, Josh Berry, your last Xfinity Series winner at Martinsville, roll off sixth. Brandon Jones, seventh. Justin Allgaier will start eighth. Jeb Burton, ninth. Mike Snyder will roll off 10th. You're running with AJ Allmendinger is. He will start 11th, and Michael Annette will start 12th in the number one for Junior Motorsports. So that's our cap there for the Xfinity Series talk for right now. Coverage begins 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 Eastern Time on Fox. MRN has coverage of that. Flat coverage there. Oh boy, get your popcorn ready for both races. It's going to be interesting for sure. But now, for a little bit, we'll talk about the Cup Series a little bit here before we take our intermission break here in the 3Y NASCAR Podcast. Moving our car to the rim side of the racetrack. High and handsome here, folks. And, wow. I mean, the comment posted by Denny Hamlin after the fact that we're smashing the competition. Well, Alex Bowman has something to say about that. Bowman smashing any hope for Denny Hamlin to get his first win of 2021. Alex Bowman on the restart gets it done there. Put a power move, I believe it was on the high side of Denny, and completing the pass there. He just ran away from Denny Hamlin there late in the race there to get it done. Alex Bowman putting that 48 back in victory lane. Oh my goodness. And how ironic was this? I tweeted this out on the end of the race that Jimmy Johnson started his new little pathway in IndyCar series last weekend there, and that was kind of an interesting race there. I did not watch the race there. I put all the focus on the Cup race there. Jimmy, I think, finished with 19th, something like that. I mean, I have it in my notes somewhere. We'll get to that in the back end of the 3Y NASCAR podcast episode tonight. But Alex Bowman, the guy, dude was strong all race long, overcoming a pit road penalty as well. And he pretty much made a statement himself saying, don't forget about us. Don't forget about us. You remember, this is the same dude that whipped up, kicked ass at Fontana last year. Just kicked everybody's ass out there. And here, he was strong. I mean, late, I believe he was one of the better cars late in a run. In a long run there in that 40 Ally Chevrolet there. But that's got to be impressive right there. And I had him in my DraftKings. Not knowing that he was going to win, I just put him in there for the fact that, hey, he's going to give me a good top 10 solid run. And lo and behold, not only does that, he goes out and wins the race right there. So, I mean, yeah, Denny Hamlin, I bet Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, once again, late race heroics there, battling each other late. Joey Logano snuck up on Hamlin there as well, took the lead there. There was a caution there late, set up by Kevin Harvick there. Harvick backing into the wall there with having a tire down there late in the race there, set up everything there in the broadcast booth, kind of pepped it up a little bit. And I kind of thought the same thing as well. I mean, here's this 48, here's Alex Bowman, hungry. And worth it, and prayers out to, oh man, I can't think of Alex Bowman's crew member that they lost in the offseason there, but thoughts and prayers continuing out to them there. Alex mentioned him during a post-race interview there, very emotional after the fact there, but Bowman drove his ass off to get that win, well deserved there. Denny Hamlin there, smashing everyone, but not smashing in the victory lane just yet there. You know, my Denny Hamlin theory is up in full force, so he's in regular season mode, that's for sure there. Can't close him out. Two chances at home to get it done. Obviously, Mark Trez Jr. got him last week, and then this past weekend, Bowman turned around against him, so I don't know what it is about Denny Hamlin. He can't close out a race. For some reason there, he had in the bag, and Alex Bowman stole the bag and ran away with it there toward the end of that finish there. So Bowman, he was up front steadily, just working his way up there. And all of a sudden, I mean, he had that pit rope, and I thought he was done. And I should know better that you still have plenty of time to... the Toyota Orders 400 recap here on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You have plenty of time, especially if you have a good race car, to get yourself up there in a place where, hey, we can get a good finish. Not only that, Alex Bowman does more than that. He led the final, 10 laps en route to a big-time victory. Denny Hamlin led the most laps, 100 more than Martin Truex Jr. did in his race as well. The 11 and 19 were, in my opinion, obviously the class of the field now. The 22 got better as the race went on. They made an adjustment, a couple adjustments, and all of a sudden, it was Logano out front. He passed Denny Hamlin there midway through the final stage of the race there, and Hamlin fought back there. And then, obviously, Alex Bowman went laying the weeds. Jeff Gordon, Clinton Boyer set it up. I mean, watch for this 48. You get a good restart, get out front. And it was too little, too late for Denny Hamlin there. But Alex Bowman, that's solid-ass driving there. Greg Ives caught from the pit box there. And Bowman now is the 8th different winner here in 2021. How about that? Putting the 48 back in victory lanes. Time to take our intermission break right now here in the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. When we return to the podcast, folks, we'll continue to look at the Toyota Owners 400 and the starting lineup also came out for the Cup Series as well, which we'll be racing on Sunday as well. So definitely must-see TV. The last time we're on Speedway Racetrack, Upset City happened at the Daytona 500. But we're going to step aside for a little bit here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We will return to get a rundown of the Toyota Owners 400, Alex Bowman putting that 48 back in victory lane.
Don't get caught in the middle. The 3Wide Podcast will be right back after this timeout.
Recap, getting y'all set for Talladega on Sunday afternoon, folks. Jimmy Johnson made his IndyCar debut last weekend in Alabama while Alex Bowman rallied back from a pit road penalty to put his fame old number 48 back in victory lane, his first win of the year and his third of his career. there for Bowman. Huge win. First on a short track win for Alex Bowman there. A huge statement there made by Bowman. He said, we ain't going nowhere. So Bowman led the last 10 laps there, ran away with it on Denny Hamlin. I know he's dominated the point standings, but Gusev still in the win column. Gusev, Denny Hamlin, who finished second in this race after leading the most laps in the Tour de Mars 100 and coming up over two. His home track this game, so we're to not to knock on the nail in the coffin for him. Over two, especially Hamlin having to deal with Blaney at Martinsville there. Had a good short car run and then obviously faded late. And that was the pattern at Martinsville here. But here, he was just on another gear. But once again, a late race here with Heroics there, turned the tables there. And Bowman was determined to take advantage. And he did just that. Joey Logano finished third after leading 49 laps there. Logano, the Burst of Dirt winner, third. Christopher Bell. See, I thought here for a fact, I was definitely close in between Bowman and Bell. I chose Bowman and he won the race there, but I thought for sure Christopher Bell would have a good run. He multi-winner in the Xfinity Series at Richmond. And it proved here a fourth place finish for Christopher Bell. Martin Truex Jr. in the Yamaha owner's Toyota. 107 laps. And another pit road mistake by MTJ, speeding on pit road there. Pretty much cost him there, but he's still rallying back there to finish and fix that spot there. But what could have been there? Martin Truex Jr., obviously he and Denny went toe for toe most of the afternoon there on a short track. And here are a couple of names here that we have not spoken about here in 2021, here on this podcast, at least for this guy. Eric Almirola finished in the sixth spot. Almirola, first top 10 of the year, and it comes most needed. And now he's going on to his better racetracks in the Speedway in the Talladega, where he finished backwards in third in last year's spring race, if I recall that. And as well, he had one of the stronger cars at Daytona before getting taken out very early in the Daytona 500. So he got a little momentum there for Almirola, and he's going to need that. He's going to crawl back into contention as far as trying to get himself into the playoff conversation, because right now, eight different winners, and Bowman has put himself in there with that big victory at Richmond last weekend as well. But this was badly needed by AA after a really shaky start to the 2021 season. First top 10 of the year, William Byron, solid 7th place run, Kyle Busch finishing in the 8th spot. A little long day for that 18, but all Jokic racing cars finishing in the top 10, and they're going to have their hands full at Talladega this weekend, given the circumstance that the numbers is always a numbers game when you go to Speedway tracks, because Toyota don't have any, hadn't had that much race cars on the racetrack. Yeah, you have 23-11. Bubba Wallace got to be licking his chops going back to Talladega there. They made so strong at Daytona. That's a name, again, you have to keep an eye on him. He's one of my somebody you're going to have to watch for sure. Top of the list, that's for sure there. But Joe Gibbs Racing, all four of their cars finishing in the top 8. Very impressive there. Kyle Busch had a battle to finish 8th there. Here's another name that hasn't been mentioned very much on the podcast. Matty DiBenedetto. Matty D, I like to call it. Finishing the 9th spot there. Matt DiBenedetto. He ran, I believe, high as 3rd or 4th in this race there. DiBenedetto, he's starting to put something together here. We go back to Talladega. Remember the last time we're at Talladega in the playoffs? DiBenedetto finished 2nd there and still looking for a elusive first win. And obviously, Wood Brothers are still stuck on win number 99 here. And I read something earlier when I got home from work that Penske had a little meeting there about this weekend at Talladega. So we know these Penske cars at Daytona and Talladega know how to work well together. And that includes the 21 car Odie Benedetto, and my oh my, we talk about some upsets. Michael McDowell, huge upset in Daytona 500. You bet everybody's looking at this car right here. This 21 car to do something. And I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see approach on him too. Because he had all the talk. I mean, DiBenedetto, he's going to be the next guy to be in Victor Lane. We ain't seen it. I haven't seen nothing. I call it what it is. You know, people know me. I call it like I see it. Whether it's football, basketball, NASCAR, whatever it is, I call it what I see it. And yes, DiBenedetto's trying to get himself back up there in the points. I don't know where he is at the time being while I'm on the subject of the podcast. But yeah, this is opportunity. I mean, if you get caught up in any of them wrecks this weekend, you're going to have no chance. So, but DiBenedetto, last time at Talladega, finished second, that controversial race there. Did he Hamlin, was he below the yellow line? Was he above it? And whatnot. DiBenedetto's right there. That makes it was emotional. After he's been emotional, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's been the common thing for him. And everybody's thinking when he gets to the victory lane, it's going to be a big ass party. Well, I'm going to wait and see on that. I know he's going to, I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be a factor, because the fact that is, anybody can win these races if you stay out of the wrecks, especially the big one. If you can put yourself in that situation, the end of the race, it's really got to come down to like five laps to go, because, you know, got guys playing scared. Single file racing, then you make a last minute move. That's your fault then for not doing it. A perfect example, I know I'm crisscrossing a little bit here, excuse me, but you know, Daytona 500 late. I mean, after that big wreck very early in the race in Daytona 500 season opener, everybody just went when it finally went back to green after the weather delay, some 3-4 hours later, 5 hours later, something like that, you know. It was single file racing, and if you call that racing, then you got another thing coming. I mean, that's not racing. I mean, people want to race, but yeah, guys playing scared. I mean, that's another thing. That's what you in the car race. Let's race, baby. Don't let's start single file line. Yes, Dale Jr. started that whole mess, followed up Piper and whatnot, and Brad Keselowski followed it as well. But if you're gonna go want a race, then you get what it's worth. Don't wait to two laps to go. Don't let the one lap to go, because all hell is going to break loose. And I bet you that one of these races is going to see that. Single file racing. Somebody's going to do it. If I put money on it, sit to betonline.com, I would put at least one of these races going to go single file right down to two laps to go. For the exception of last spring's race there, it was just wild from the get-go with weather, again, with this weather in the area situation. You had 3-4 wide, bold moves and everything else like that. So unless you put weather in the area, these guys ain't gonna race that much. And yes, you don't want to make that mistake early, a millimeter of mistake. You can turn somebody the wrong way, and bump traffic, and whatever it is that you're trying to do from top to bottom. So one of these races, bold prediction on my end, one of these races is going to see single file racing, especially with less than 10 to go. A lot of people are going to get scared, the ones that are left anyways, and they're not going to pull out less than two laps to go. I mean, this is the pattern we mostly see. Single, after the big wreck, you see single file racing. Let's play it safe all the way to at least the final lap or two laps to go. So that's kind of my, we'll see if my prediction comes true this weekend. I just believe it. I believe it, because the fact that it is your job's to race, not running single file when it comes to these racing. When you want to put on a show for the fans, put on the show for the fans. That's what you're there to do, not to get, not, if you get mad, that's your fault. That's your fault for getting in line anyways. I mean, Denny Hamlin tried to make something happen in the 500, couldn't do it. I know another car, I can't remember, Bob Wall's trying to make something happen, couldn't do it. So, I mean, I think Austin Dillon tried to do something, couldn't do it. I know Michael McDowell, his strategy was to stay with the Penske cars, obviously with the Ford Alliance, until the last lap or something like that. You know, listening to Radioactive and whatnot in this plan during post-race Zoom. Now, see, he was wanting to stick to the two car because he knew what he was going to do. It's so I'm telling you, so predictable. Especially you put the Penske cars up front and the disappointment walking away with wreck race cars after the fact. And Austin Center, I mentioned this earlier this year on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast ET3, the Austin Center saying the plane ride back was very quiet because they knew they blew an opportunity to win the Daytona 500. So it's going to be an interesting strategy to see what plays out in both of these races. That's for sure. We have Matty DiBenedetto, ninth place there. The finish kind of put a wrap on the top 10 here. Austin Dillon finishing in the 10th position there. That's your top 10 for the Toyota Owners 400.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Some notables here, back to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. EG3 putting a pin on the Richmond Talk here. Some notables here. Chase Elliott finishing in truck position. Brad Keselowski, and I'm going to put, this is a, obviously, a I'm going to do this now while I'm on it. So I haven't done this in a while on the podcast, but the 3Wide move, the sucker hole move of the week belongs to Jeremy Bullins, the crew chief for the 2 car for Brad Keselowski. What in the world were you thinking? Obviously, Brad Keselowski, whether it's Paul Wool or Jeremy Bullins, love to push the envelope and do go a different route. This route, though, didn't work. Staying out, they pretty much cost them their race right there. You're in good position. You're in running after the one of the cautions, favorable cautions that they were needing came out, and they decided to stay out, or actually one of the green flag runs, stay out there for a long-ass time, stay out there until stage 2 ended, and it bite them in the ass. That, you got, yeah, I'm going to put you 3Wide for that, Jeremy Bullins. So that was obviously no-go. That took you basically out of a top 10 finish. That's for sure, because you were running when the field kind of got jumbled up after one of the cautions came out. Keselowski was running back there between 8th and 12th place there before that caution came out. I can't remember which caution, but I know there was a caution that really jumbled things up a little bit there, which put Keselowski right up in the top 5, and he was there leading, and then gets caught obviously by Denny Hamlin, and then gets lapped by Denny Hamlin. So yeah, Jeremy Bullins, I'm gonna put you 3Wide for the week here on on this episode, anyways, this week on the EG3 podcast. But yeah, I mean, can't fault for trying, but at the end, yeah, it was a definite mistake there. You took your driver pretty much out of a top 10 finish there, and you finish 14th. And actually, when I'm looking at this, re-looking at this, he did finish somehow on a lead lap. So, go figure. But yeah, he was a lap down for majority of the second half of the race there. So, very costly a mistake by Jeremy Bullins on that team. Kyle Larson finishing 18th. Tyler Reck 20th. Chase Briscoe 22nd. Kevin Harvick, after his tire go down, hitting the wall, 24th position for him. Bubba Wallace 26th. Speaking of Austin Cindric, he finished 28th in this race, making the short track appearance there. That's kind of what I have here as some notables here for the Toyota Owners 400. And next time, you'll see the Cup guys in action. That is this Sunday afternoon here as I flip the screen once again on Fox. Fox and MRN having a doubleheader this weekend here, as we get set for 3-4-Wide racing in Alabama, the Geico 500 on Fox. And obviously, next Sunday afternoon, obviously the truck race in Kansas City next weekend is a Saturday night race. The Cup race is a Sunday afternoon race at 2 o'clock Central Time. And then, oh, a little bit of early shift here with Darlington coming into play. So yeah, I had to do a double take on this a little bit. This is going to be a triple header the following week after KC weekend. Darlington throwback weekend coming early this year with the switch. Triple header weekend. Oh, that's going to be awesome there. Early spring treat there. May is going to be hectic for me, but this is going to be some great racing. Kansas coming up. Darlington with his throwback weekend. Dover. And obviously the Circuit Coda making its debut later on next month as well. That's going to be, I'm looking at this May 22nd, it's going to be busy. Big day, at least for me here with the my favorite half marathon, the Bill Snyder half. This is that morning race in the afternoon, and then I'm supposed to be going to a wedding that night, so that's going to be a big day there. And of course, I'm looking way too far down the line, but kind of just to put a cap on May, the Charlotte weekend, including the Coca-Cola 600 that weekend as well. More information on that weekend, because I will be on vacation there, so I don't know what the plans are for the podcast there, so I might have an interview there, somewhere in there. So definitely, that's more information to come on a 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 on that. But yeah, May looks very exciting with all things that going on off the racetrack and on it. That is for sure. So looking forward to that. But we got unfinished business here in the month of April coming up. Alabama style, the Talladega Super Speedway on deck this weekend, obviously. And the starting lineup came out yesterday, and that is the wrong lineup. They already said that. Yep, so Bowman already locked in here. So Denny Hamlin, with all the math, adding up all the math from this weekend on the poll for this one, and he was the last winner at Talladega. Again, I already said it here earlier in this half of the podcast here. Denny Hamlin looking to get off that goose egg. He's going to have his hands full. Joey Logano will start second, and again, Penske had somewhat of a good meeting, quote unquote, this week. So it'll be interesting to see what they come out with. You know, you're going to have to deal with Penske and with the rest of Ford camp here if you're going to get into victory lane. Joey Logano will be on the front row. Martin Truex Jr. will roll off third. William Byron fourth. Alex Bowman rolls off fifth. Christopher Bell sixth. Ryan Blaney will start seventh. Chase Elliott starts eighth. Kyle Busch ninth. And Brad Keselowski will start in the 10th position. That is your top 10 for the Geico 500. And I already mentioned Bubba Wallace earlier, somebody you gotta look out for in this race here. Another guy, a couple guys here, two more. We already talked about Almirola. He's gonna look to bounce back. But I got Austin Dillon here. He's gonna be starting 11th in his race here. I got him in one of my fantasy leagues here. I think he's gonna have a big race here if he can stay out of trouble. That's for sure. He won one of the duels going back to February there against Bubba Wallace there, right down to the wire. So I believe he might have something on Sunday as well. And I got a wild card for you here to kind of close out somebody you got to watch. Track House Racing. That's right. Track House Racing in the 99 of Daniel Suarez. This team is starting, I feel, is coming around. I mean, yes, Bubba's feels good about his team. Well, Dan Suarez feels the same way about his new team, Trackhouse Racing. We saw this team run up front and competitively lead laps at the Bristol Dirt Race. We've seen him constantly here lately, anyways, running inside the top 15. Dan Suarez is somebody you're going to have to keep an eye on Sunday. These three, mark them down, Big D. Mark them down. Here, Bubba Wallace, Austin Dillon, and Daniel Suarez, three guys to watch here. I'm not even gonna touch the Russian numbers there because we're already running out of time here on this edition. But I'm giving y'all, ladies and gentlemen, some of these guys to think about. Obviously, Matty D, I talked about him extensively early on this episode of the podcast as well. So, but I got three here, the 23. Basically, both new teams, 23-11 and Trackhouse, somebody to keep eyes on that. Austin Dillon, I got him already, like I said, in one of my fantasy leagues this weekend, so I might have to add him in another one. So I just got a feeling he's going to be big, as well as his teammate, Tyler Reddick. So definitely for sure, I mean, this is, again, an opportunity for somebody else to get themselves in position to steal one of those coveted playoff spots. Here. Now, guys, we already got eight winners already. Half the bracket's already filled. And we start the other half. So there's a good chance that might happen. It's 85% chance that might happen. I know that might be another bold prediction on the podcast, but it is. Hey, I mean, we saw it earlier. I mean, these type of races take out big name drivers. I mean, why? That's all I have to say. It takes out these type of races. You make a mistake, the big one takes out a lot of guys. And at the end of the day, you end up with somebody you don't think about. Not only just winning the race, but some of these guys get good finishes. So that's why I have those three down. So, but hey, it's gonna be something. This is must watch TV this weekend. Talladega, enough said there. Alex Bowman, your recent winner in the NASCAR Cup Series, putting that 48 back in victory lane. Eddie Greer III. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here. Do go over my power rankings real quick, and then don't forget, stay tuned for the EG3 Helmet Sticker of the Week coming up right after this here. A couple of changes in my power rankings this week heading into Talladega here. I got Hamlin. Well, actually, I went way. Hold up. So, okay, wild cards here. Harvick went back in the wild card. Yes. Kevin Harvick. Yep, I said it. Harvick, wild card. And my other one, Matty D, moves into the other spot as well. And he might have a chance to do more damage than that. So, the Benedetto's got an opportunity to have a chance. Everybody's got a chance here at Talladega. We all know that. The Benedetto, we know how strong that 21 car is, particularly at Super Speedway. So, we'll see what Matty D can do if he can get one spot closer. On Sunday, Austin Dillon, new to the Power Rankings Top 10. I have him in the 10th spot there. Blaney, -2 this week in a nice spot. Roddy moves up one, have him in the 8th spot. Biggest loser belongs to Kyle Larson. He drops 4 spots into the 7th spot there for me. And I can't believe I've left off some marquee names in there, and that's good because this is not 16. This is top 10 and 2 wild cards. That's how I like to play it here in a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. This is something for new listeners, something I started to do last week, so I'm starting to do it now. So Alex Bowman, new to the top 10. I have him in the 6th spot there, and he basically is the biggest mover of the week in the EG3 Power Rankings movement there. Next to him, Christopher Bell, +3 into the 5th spot there. Byron, +1. 4th, Joey Logano, +1 there. This could definitely change after Talladega, that's for sure. We'll see what happens there, especially, I know I don't want to factor in finishes there because he had Mark Trish Jr. and his issues with Super Speedways, but he sits 2nd. And unfortunately, yep, sorry y'all. Sorry, Mark Truex Nation. Got Denny Hamlin top of the spot. And yeah, why not? Because, yes, he said he was smashing the competition. But yet, he does not have wins to this point. And he said he'd rather be in this position than where Alex Bowman is. But hey, Alex Bowman locked himself in to the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure, Denny's going to say, eventually he will lock himself into the playoffs. Yeah, Denny Hamlin, he's almost like 100 up on everybody else right now. 81 to Martin Truex Jr. in the regular season standings. Joey Logano, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, that's your top 5. I don't need to go into deficits because, yes, he's killing everybody with that. But strange thing of all, he has not been able to close the last 2 cup races at his home tracks. So that's what's up there on that note right there, folks, here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
You're listening to the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3.
Xfinity Series Saturday, 3 Central Time, 4 Eastern Time on Fox. And then the Cup Series will fall behind that the next day. Of course, we've got to put weather permitting on both of these. So Fox has the main event, the Geico 500, 1 o'clock Central Time on Fox. And then, of course, the Xfinity Series on Fox as well. For those of you that are going to be tuning in on TV, if you can't catch the races this weekend, MRN has it in the Truck Series off this weekend. They return to battle in prime time next Saturday in Kansas City for that race. So I'm excited for that, even though, yes, folks, I'm not going to be able to go due to other commitments that are already made previously. But hey, I'll be still in front of the TV watching both races next weekend in the Cup Series as well as they make their return to Kansas City. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is, folks. Yes, sir. It is time for the helmet stickers of the week, including the EG3 helmet sticker of the week, before we shut this thing down for the week as we get set for Speedway Racing. Okay, so honorable mentions here, if I can get my list here, my notes actually going here, pretty much straightforward actually here this weekend. Beginning with the trucks, obviously, honorable mention, Tyler Inkerman, big third place finish for him after his slow start to the season as well. So he needed that for GMS. Sam Mayer, every time he's in the field, on a short track or in a race for that matter, he performs very well. He did it again this past weekend, finishing in just inside the top 10, finishing in a ninth spot. Great job by Mayer. He gets honorable mention as well as JH. What else is new? John Hunter Nemechek in a dominating performance there. Yet again, he's 2-0 against his boss, Kyle Busch there. You get an honorable mention, John Hunter Nemechek, on that. Cup Series side, well, I pretty much documented these two individuals on this half of the episode. Eric Almirola and Matt DiBenedetto both get honorable mentions this week on the podcast. And both of them drive Fords, and if they can stay out of trouble, I look for these guys to be right up there in the mix. They're battling the seesaw effect at Talladega Superspeedway. So we'll see what the 10 and 21 do this weekend as we get set for 500 miles of intense racing, 3-4 wide, and sometimes possibly 5 wide at that racetrack. And ladies and gentlemen, it leads up to the EG3 helmet sticker of the week. Oh yeah, here real quick before I get to that, do want to mention here, before I sign off here real quick, I know that a lot of people were tuning in to the IndyCar race at Alabama. It was a wild first race. a big wreck in the first lap of that race there. Obviously, congratulations to Alex Palou for winning the season opener. Not only that, but it was his first ever IndyCar race there. How about that? who got it done right there. And Jimmy Johnson there, finishing back of the field there. He had his struggles there in his debut in the IndyCar. So I believe I thought it was 19th. I might have to check back out on that. I'll check back in on that with y'all later. But anyways here, I find it ironic that Jimmy Johnson started. I said this in the first half of the podcast, and I'll end it with the same saying. Jimmy Johnson starting a new adventure in his racing career. Kind of struggling a little bit, getting involved in that big one a little bit with Dirty Ear, everything else like that. But on the flip side of that, he got to hear that Alex Bowman, his replacement, puts his Fame 48 car, the Ally Chevy, back in victory lane. How big was that? Obviously, he's been the super, super, super sub of superstars, you know, replacing Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the 88, getting a victory in that number there, and now putting his name stamp on his own identity in the 48 car for Hendrick Motorsports, obviously. Alex Bowman getting it done. And like I said, he made his own statement this weekend, and I look forward for him to build that momentum this weekend. Wouldn't put it past Bowman to be up there contending if he can stay out of trouble. But anyways, the EG3 helmet sticker of the week belongs to Alex Bowman, 48 car, back in victory lane.
listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time. Going 3Wide.